Welcome to the Tech Vittori podcast, where we will explore the hottest topics in connectivity and digitalization with some of the industry's leading minds.
This will be a discussion panel. E-identity innovation, building secure digital wallets for EU citizens. And Bart already mentioned some of these things we are working on. Hosted by the Ministry of Smart Administration and Regional Development. So round of applause to the host, please. Woo-hoo. And our moderator will be editor at Finde, LV, and Labs of Latvia, Eva Treja. And good luck, Eva.
Thank you. Thank you. Dear panelists, hello everyone. It's nice to see that there are a lot of people interested in this topic. Mm-hmm. And I would like to really thank Bart of good introduction of the topic. It was really, really good. And yeah, the future looks bright, but actually not everything it's as easy as it seems. So we will touch upon that. What else I would like to add from my side before panelists introduce themselves is that it is important to mention that it is about not just digital wallets, but it's about digital identity wallets that we will talk about here today. And we have digital identity experts. And yeah, would you like to, who would like to start, introduce yourself, say your name, title?
I could start Gattis. from yourself. So, hello, my name is Gattis Rozos. I'm Deputy State Secretary for Digital Transformation, Ministry of Smart Administration, Regional Development. We are also hosting this panel, and we are looking forward to share experiences as we see that it's one essential part to ensure this interoperability, that we share our experience between countries on setting up this quite a tight schedule in implementing digital wallets.
Vilma, please.
Hello, I'm Vilma Misukonene, and I represent Lithuania in this panel. I'm from the ICT department at the Ministry of Interior. And as a leader of national group in the EU Project Potential and also communication leader for the consortium.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hello, so my name is Christine Mailleux. I am working for the Federal Belgian Administration, and I am program manager of the program of the Belgian Digital Identity Wallet.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anne.
Hello, everyone. My name is Anna Mutlik. I'm Chief Digital Identity Officer in Estonia. And yeah, looking forward to interesting panel discussion here today on EOD Wallet.
Hello, I'm Riho Kurk. I'm a country manager for CETES in Estonia. And before that, I was kind of colleague working on the potential project with Vilma, and kind of colleague to Anna working in the electronic identity in Estonia.
Okay, thank you. So Bart did a good job in explaining what is digital wallet, but I will give a floor to Vilma and ask to really explain what we are going to talk about here with really the focus on digital identity.
Okay, so it was a lot of information from our previous colleague, but I assume not everybody so deeply in this topic. Let's just start from the basics, that first of all, the digital identities are the most important relationship between the government and the citizens. So they establish indisputable rules, legally binding between the citizen and the government. Mm-hmm. And citizen obligation to the government and vice versa. And the e-wallet, it's really an instrument designed to enable European Union citizens and businesses to simplify their digital transactions cross borders and online and offline, enabling to access, store, share, and sign. So, and also as an instrument opening and improving the global trade. So for the user, it's just an app, but for the government, it's the huge, big ecosystem. And it's a digital platform which ensures interoperability and user control. I would say that for the first time, EU is really coming closer to the single digital market establishment, putting user in the center, making user to control its data, to whom it is shared, when, and to know how this data to be used. When we go to tech giants' platforms, we never know how our data would be used later on. So that was basically the idea why EU decided that users as a weak party need to be much more protected. But from the other hand, the access to the digital services need to be more easy for them. So the wallet would be free, voluntary, and safe, of course. And what is very important, linked to the national ID, to national identification scheme, which is notified to EU. So it would be interoperable to the existing systems and allowing integration not only with the public services, but also with the private services. So, as I said, four key functions would be the wallet enable key functions to access online services cross-border, to store digital documents and share those, and to sign the documents safely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got this. So how does it look like at the moment from a policymaker perspective? You are working on the EU level as well and developing all this platform to make it happen. So what is going on at the moment?
Yes, as colleague already mentioned, there is a from the end user perspective, it's a simple app, but underneath there's a lot of work to do because currently it's been it's working under the regulation. The regulation is started into the force in May 2024. So ADIS 2, we already saw some building blocks in process. We're already using like digital signature, digital identity, but then digital identity wallet. It comes. Above and now we are in process like doing things in parallel. We are both like doing the technical things. We are already testing and piloting how could it be used. And on the other hand, we are still waiting for the delegated act, which will set up like specific like standards, technical specifications on security and trust. And there are some still discussions on the on some conceptual questions still on going on. So, but not to wait like too much. The country is already in. In 2023, started like a large-scale projects. There are in total like four running in Europe. One is Potential, one is Nobid, the Latvian are partnering, and then two other projects. So we are test various use cases of potential applications, whether it's a payment, whether it's driving license, whether it's some other documents. So they are doing in parallels, and the pilot projects will go until 2025. Then we'll have some like a review, recap, suggestions that will be feed into also the real life solutions. So now what we are, what the regulation said that starting from 2026, all the member states have to deploy digital wallets. And in 2027, they has to be accepted also by industry companies. So also the platform. So what are the current challenges? We are still working for some specifications. So we are doing in a parallel. The challenging part, of course, will be also the cross-border interoperability because of different ways how each country addresses like identification, personal code, and still it's a challenging question how to ensure this interoperability yes, and of course implementation. But it's good that those pilot projects we have, that they are cross-country pilot projects, so we are already working on those issues currently.
Do you have some feedback already from those pilot projects?
Maybe the colleagues who are deeply in projects, because we are from the ministry more as a coordinated policy level, but then colleagues maybe from the projects can elaborate on, you know, that there are some issues, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anna, let's talk about those use cases. There is a governmental part. Then there are customers, like every one of us, and then there are service providers, and all of them will be integrated in the whole system. So, how it will all work? What new opportunities it will provide for citizens as well as service providers? I think you could be an expert on that, right?
So what's the aim of European Digital Identity Wallet? It is foremost, there is basically three aspects that are important. First of all, it is the aim of it is to prove someone's identity. For example, if I have this app in my wallet, so I could prove that I am indeed Anna Mutlik, and this can be you know, verifiable. The second point is that we could sign digitally documents or whatever matters. And also, this wallet should carry the credentials for different attestations, such as driving license, or diploma, or professional information, etc. There are probably many use cases that we are not even aware of it today. So for governments, what that means is that, of course, the market is very fragmented in EU, and there are countries that are very advanced in digital identity, and then there are someone who have some solutions, and then there are there are many difficulties. So there is a wide range within EU, but the aim is to kind of unify it with this kind of secure solution for identity verification and identity proofing. So basically, for governments, it is from one side, it is a new tool to verify identity, but on the other side, it is also there has to be a rebuild of ecosystems, because a new tool in identity verification means that we have to analyze the systems, how the users can use it, and provide this, you know, showing this phone or showing this app, that this would be sufficient to prove that I am indeed who I claim to be. And also from the service sector or private sector, I see that there is a huge opportunity in use cases, starting from financial sectors, from payments, anti-money laundering, know your customer requirements, etc. Also a lot of opportunities in travel, accommodation, identity proofing, traveling, travel documents. And also supply chain management, everything related to logistics, freight, travel. So there is a huge range of opportunities, let's say. But as Gart said, there is a lot of standards are still not even started to begin with, to be developed. There are some standards that are in process. And there is also some specifications that are in place. So the challenge lies in here, that we have to start building something For what we actually do not have the full specification range ahead of us, and as a procuring party, that is a challenge. So what do we code? What do we program if we don't have the standards or technical specifications in place? But I think these are kind of technical challenges can be overcome.
Mm-hmm. I'm super happy that Christina has joined our discussion, as she showed me how already the digital identity wallet works in Belgium. If somebody of you is interested, then you can catch Christine afterwards. Yeah. But about your experience, about Belgium's experience, how did it went, this whole process of creating this digital identity wallet?
Well, we have the idea of making a digital identity since the 2020, and in 2021 appears the proposal of the Commission about the digital identity wallet, and it was really in line with what we have also thought in Belgium. So we started the program in 2022, and we launched the first version of the wallet, Belgian version, in May this year. So the name of the app is, it's an app, so it's mygov.be, which is available on the App Store and the Android platform. The app is available, it's purely national for the moment, meaning that you can only use it as a Belgian citizen or Belgian resident. You have several possibilities. You have a first version of data coming from your identity card and from your mobile driving license, if you have a mobile driving license, of course. Those documents are only data. They don't have any legal value yet, which is quite a challenging, in fact, for the wallet, that you have to adapt the legislation in order that those documents that you show on your app have a legal value, and that, for example, a policeman can say, based on this, yes, okay, this is correct, you are the person that you mean to be. Then you can already have download certain attestations, so certain electronic attestation with a legal value already, like act of birth, act of marriage, certificate for vaccination, and other kind of specific documents related to the Belgium specificities, I would say. So for the moment, it's only a national version, and of course, we work together with Estonia and Lithuania and other countries in the potential consortium to pilot and to test the interoperability of the eIDAS for the moment proposal for the technical specification. Mm-hmm. So for the moment, the first version is in production. We didn't make a lot of communication about this, but currently, each day there are more people who are activating this app. Mm-hmm. The app has also a specific functionality for Belgium, which is a messaging system, meaning that you can receive, we have an e-box, what we call an e-box. Each citizen can have an e-box with the administration. For the moment, 1/3 of the Belgian adult population, meaning 3.5 million of Belgian citizens and residents, have activated this e-box, so they receive all the documents through this inbox and not on paper anymore. And the wallet, the mobile app, gives also a mobile access to this e-box. So it is very useful functionality of the app.
And what is required if you want to go transborder, offer international transactions, or just opportunity for Belgian citizens to use it outside Belgium?
So we are doing
We are talking about this
cross-border.
There are challenges with the cross-border. Yeah. So. What is required for this to work?
The interoperability and the technical specification for interoperability. Of course, each country has a specific legacy system. Maybe in Estonia and Lithuania and Latvia, you don't have a lot of legacy. But in Belgium, for example, we have a national register since more than 40 years. With a national identity register number. So each country is a little bit different. In France and Germany, they also have another option. They don't have any national number, which makes things more difficult to identify cross-border. What we need is really a technical specification for cross-border and standards.
And for this, we are waiting for European level legislation, right?
The Commission work at three things at the same time, I would say. The delegated act, which there is a draft version of the first five acts. Then there is the pilot, like the potential consortium and two other pilots to test. And the third action of the Commission is to have a tender. They made a tender 1 year ago, I think, to build a reference implementation for the wallet. Mm-hmm. So the countries who do not have a wallet can rely on this reference implementation to build their own wallet. But of course, all these are working in parallel, and they have to exchange, so this is the difficulty because it's a kind of circle, of course. We have to check the reference implementation, then to test in the pilot, and if it's okay, then it could be put in the delegated act. And for the moment, it's a little bit, we are still waiting each other, I would say, from time mm-hmm. to time.
Yeah, maybe I just wanted to jump into that. We speak about cross-border and we have to become prepared. We speak about here about digital wallet, but still there are things that already you are working. For example, the part of the digital signatures are already working across borders. So for the people who want to digitally kind of make their relationship across borders in EU, so there are some already tools that working and identity as well. For example, in our national portal, you can log in with 22 country like digital identities currently, but of course in most of the government services your identity is not enough to ensure you some rights or something. You need additionally some your personal information about your age, about your like a social status and things like that, and then comes in this digital e-wallets and you like grant access to even more additional personal information, and for this you need additional kind of build the standardization and things like that. Mm-hmm. But in general there are relationships you can do digitally already now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Riho, I would like you to join and about the probably the more technical side. Implementation of EU digital identity wallet is twofold and consists of developing the wallet technology and maintaining the wallet provider as a service. So each side is coming with different challenges, and could you elaborate a bit about that?
Exactly. So I will just step a little bit away from the technology. If anybody remembers that there was in the disk world, from late Terry Pratchett, there is a luggage. And this luggage has a very similar properties to the wallet. It can store anything. It's very secure. It follows the owner. And it protects the owner relentlessly. It also sometimes eats the perpetrators, but thankfully this is not the specification that was needed. So basically, for the service providers or suppliers, we do have the technical standards. We have the requirements that are needed. But there are still some challenges, and these are the technical challenges. How to make this technology work? Because it's very new, it's mostly untested. Lots of it is being tested within large-scale pilots, but this is the problem that can be solved absolutely between these 2 years. I have no doubt of it because there is a lot of bright minds working on the wallet technology. But this means we have this luggage. But in this world, for luggage to work, there is also need for the magic, as in total disk world, to operate. And this magic part is the same ecosystem that Wilma already mentioned. And there is also these missing implementation acts that are missing even on the EU level. But more importantly, the member states have to have their own regulations based on those implementation acts. This is the much bigger challenge for the governments to support this ecosystem and to provide this magic to for the luggage to work. So it's not easy, absolutely not easy, because when going back like 2 years ago, it was much worse. We didn't have any technology in place. And sometimes people still say that, okay, we cannot store this, we cannot create private keys, we cannot guarantee privacy, things like this. There are always these people. This position has changed in these 2 years. We have still 2 years, we have still time to develop and accommodate those standards. But at the same time, it's really, really important that the regulation side, not only European, but also the local regulations. And I think that we can all agree on the panel that the range of the stakeholders is much, much bigger. And it's not absolutely not a technology problem, but all these other silos in the government that have to work together to create this ecosystem. But on the positive note, 25 years ago, we didn't have any ID cards. And it was just, okay, the technology said that, okay, we can write something in the sky and it will just work. But now, ID card is a kind of legacy already, as somebody already mentioned. So I have no doubt that if not 2026, then 2027 or 2013, if not for the eIDAS 2, then for the eIDAS 3, it will absolutely work.
Okay, so 2027, everyone agree?
I absolutely agree. Is anybody doesn't agree?
Vilma, you have to
say. Well, I would say it's a lot of skepticism because the challenge is a really big one. So the Europe took this step forward, and I would say that is the kind of leadership step, revolutionary digital revolutionary step in the world to establish the centralized but unified identity system across the Europe. And as we had eIDAS 1, where the governments would be able to verify the digital identity, but the private sector was outside. Now by eWallet and eIDAS 2, we would like private sector to be engaged and private sector to be part of that. The banks, the energy sector, everybody, where the user can access with the one tool, all this, not nationally, but cross-border. But, of course, it is like a big cake of legal layer, technical governance, administrative, to be harmonized, those who are standing as the conductors at the national level and the EU level. So it's really, how to say, we still have many gaps, not answered questions yet in all of these domains, technical side, legal one. And so my belief is that probably earlier than in 2030, we would not be able to have that one. Of course, we are in the different positions, the countries, because the starting point was different, yeah? But we are catching up, some of the countries. And first phase, nationally, the second phase, cross-border.
Mm-hmm. Riho?
Yes, yeah. I will just take one piece from Vilma, that cross-border does not mean that there is one centralized ID. Yeah. There is absolutely no need for the one centralized ID for the working cross-border, because for first, identity matching will never work cross-border. We just have to agree on this. And there is no need for us to be sure that the same citizen coming from cross-border is the same citizen who was coming 3 years ago, because it doesn't matter. But it does matter, of course, nationally, indeed, and it works very, very well. Another point of view is that if it works technically, then I don't see that it cannot be better than current eIDAS 1. And considering the active usage of the eIDAS 1 currently, which is not big, if we have one more country or member state using eIDAS 2 more than eIDAS 1, we have already won. The current number is it 5 or 6? So if we have 7 or 8 countries using wallets, it's a win. Mm-hmm. Right?
Does someone want to add something? Okay, I would like to cover one more topic, and it is about privacy. How can we be sure that our data is safe there? Anna, you,
well, eIDAS 2 has a very strong emphasis on privacy by design. So not to be just an empty slogan, but that means that there has to be a very, very clear rules and understanding of what kind of data, personal data, has needs to be gathered. What will be done with this data, how this will be processed, how this will be maintained, for how long, etc. So also there is a strong emphasis on user centricity, so meaning that the person or the user is in charge of their personal data, their personal credentials, and they can decide with whom they share it with, and how much information they share it with. From the service provider side, this is a huge question mark, of course, because they maybe need ABCD information points or data points, but if the person is not willing to share it, then what do we do? Do we not provide the service, or the person allows it? So there are questions to be decided. Another important aspect, in my view, is cross-border interoperability. And indeed, as it has been mentioned, the technology is in place for years. That's why in Estonia we have a working EID ecosystem across services, across sectors. So the technology is definitely not the question mark. And also, in my opinion, it is not a question of will there be wallets in 26, 27, 30, whatever. The question, there are wallets already on the market, and there are also Google wallets, Apple wallets, there are national wallets. But the main question is, how do these wallets work cross-border? How do I, as an Estonian citizen, take my phone and I drive through the Baltic states, or across the Germany, France, all the way to Italy or Spain, and showing my wallet and my driving license from there, or renting a car there, or booking a accommodation there? So there are very important question marks that need to be solved for this kind of dream to come true. And I agree that this is definitely not a technological question. It is a very much political question, trust question, and also in some aspects cultural aspects are involved. So So privacy is definitely a matter that has to be addressed, but also we have to consider that for providing some sort of a security levels, there needs to be data gathered, stored, and it has to be very transparent how this is done.
What happens if the person dies?
Well, that is a good question. What happens to their digital, let's say, footprint? That is a great question. I don't have the answer to that right now, but this is definitely something that needs to be addressed.
Christina, you can...
Yeah, in Belgium, we will revoke the wallet. Mm-hmm. Because we know, of course, there is a life cycle management of the whole citizens. It's the same for the electronic identity card. When someone dies, his card is not valid anymore after maybe 1 week or 1 day. It depends on the process, I would say. But we can revoke the wallet. Huh? It's also foreseen in the legislation to revoke the wallet also for other reasons like fraud, suspicion, or simply also maybe because the wallet... it's also a possibility.
So you mentioned a couple of time frames, but how fast can you react then?
Of course, for the death of the person? Or
yeah.
That we have to decide. It's a governance matter. We decide, do you want to check every day, every week, it's a matter of governance and political, but it is possible to revoke the wallet.
Same now for digital signatures as well and digital identities. Yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So process. How does it happen at the moment?
It's binded to population register, and then if the person dies and it's registered that the person has died, so the certificates are revoked and so you cannot use them anymore.
So it happens quite quickly.
Yeah,
of course it's, and for this reason it's important that we as a state have like this kind of core or anchor identity that is kind of built on such relationships, as you mentioned, between governments and citizens, and then upon that you can build already like more convenient and other like derivate identities, but there is a one core that is following your life cycle as well.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay, I just want a little bit to shift to two most important aspects, I would say. Because EU allocated 90 million to test this wallet interoperability or those use cases, I would say that the first thing is that whether we will manage to create the services which would be value added for the citizens, for the business, that would be economically, justified. That is very important thing, and I would say that the focus should lay onto this. And by the way, the users, and very recently it was research from the users, they identified that they see wallet as the mean which could be used for travel and health, like crossing the airport zone, or you get sick and then you can get the prescription of the doctor when you're on the vacation. So, and the second aspect, I would say, it's a trust from the users, because again, if we will create the most advanced wallets technically, but if there will be no trust from the user side, so that would be, again, a waste of the money. Therefore, the Commission and our LSPs, large-scale projects, we are already started public awareness campaign, educating the users what does the wallet about and why their privacy is secure, why these wallets to be certified, and but everything is in front. We still need to, as the governments, to create these systems, to do all this, to create the relying party registers, to manage that across the EU.
What about Estonia, Latvia, Belgium? What do you know about public opinion regarding these trust issues? Do you have some data or anything?
There was some. European Union's made this survey. Yes, I think some year ago or something like that about digital wallets, and that the citizens, what they requested was not they're requesting the wallets, they're requesting this kind of trust, security, and possibility to oversee and control the distribution of their personal data, because now we are in the domain of using the social networks, and all the requests of sharing personal data, people are becoming more aware of that their personal data is a value, and so they want to become in a controlled position on that. So from this perspective, citizens are awaiting this digital wallet as more and more information is requested, and at that point you can see and follow this. In Nordic countries, I think in Baltic as well, we have like a also very specific way how we operate also within government. For example, in government, our citizens would be happy if government wouldn't ask them about sharing data, but the government would take care of themselves within the government. But in some European countries, more like central countries, they don't see it as a good model. They want to follow and give this kind of approval for sharing data also between the government institutions. So that people are awaiting this.
Mm-hmm. I just want to mention that we make a test of the wallet in January this year, and we make a call to the citizens to test, and we receive a huge number of people, very enthusiastic, willing to test the wallet. So, and there were some of them were very disappointed when we said, okay, we have enough people. They said, oh, it's a pity, I would like to test it. So they were very enthusiastic. Of course, there are always people reluctant to digital and so on, but a lot of people are still waiting for that kind of thing.
What about digital country, Estonia?
Well, in Estonia, I think you can correct me if you like, but I think in Estonia we have the trust towards government, and this digital solutions, the general trust is very high. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like, why do I think it is? Because the usage is so wide. We use it everywhere and every day. And if we think about, you know, when did I last sign, you know, physically with a pen and paper, like we probably don't remember. And have I filed taxes on paper? No. So for me, this is a normality that we live in. But I understand that this is a very country-specific topic. And in Central Europe, there is maybe a bit less trust towards government and governmental agencies. So there we can see also the uptake of this kind of digital solutions is also slower or not as good. So yeah, this is very country specific. How do you actually, so basically you have to know your market and know your customers, how to approach this. In Estonia, this is probably easier because the trust towards government is high, but also it is kind of two-way street in a way that government provides this kind of solutions that make our daily life easier and simpler. So the trust is built in that way, so we as a citizen, we see the value for us. So yeah, maybe do you, Riha, want to elaborate?
Yeah, I completely agree. And about the trust that Anna mentioned, this trust is not built overnight. We have had our 23 something years of experience, and there hasn't been any breach of this trust from either side. If we are, let's say, one day there will be the wallet available in Estonia, they will just see it as another mobile identity. Yeah. And the use case will be exactly the same as a current mobile identity. And in fact, probably a lot more people will start using it immediately, because we know already that when the first mobile ID application, the smart ID appeared, then basically took over So we can always say that there is a whole generation coming up who don't want to use computer, let alone an ID card reader. Good luck with this.
Yeah.
So let's say from the generational perspective, my 80-year-old mother is using card reader every day. I'm using mobile ID because I'm just too lazy. My children would never touch a card reader if not pressed. So the going to the mobile identity, we name it EU wallet or the state wallet or any other name, it's inevitable. This is simply a next evolutionary step that will happen anyway. And it's better not to be on this way.
Yeah.
because whatever the form of the EU wallet is, for us generally in Europe, we prefer the state wallet to the Google wallet, which is not the case in every nation. Mm-hmm. Mm. So, as I said previously, if the eIDAS 2 is not perfect, eIDAS 3 will.
Mm. So basically, there is a trust, there is a technical readiness, and we now have to wait for some very important political and legislative decisions for the EU digital identity wallet to start its way. Do we have some questions from the audience?
Oh, yes, we can go for questions from the audience. If you do have, just put up your hand. I have one question. I've learned in Secure ID conference, like half a year ago this year, that in most of the European countries, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia are almost the only ones where photos are taken at the office of issuer. Normally, people are coming in with their own photos or sending them in by mail, and those photos are put in passports and ID cards. Some photos are already tampered with, just to be used later by a different person. So, would digital or wallet will solve that problem? And that is the problem of trust for the initial document.
I believe in that case you already kind of done in this process in how you've done it in your country, and when you're issuing this digital wallet, then you rely on the passport or ID documents that's already issued. So you already done this process. How you've done it in your country? So I don't know if it will solve that. The challenge that it might be for some countries.
So that fraudulent photo of someone already will go into our digital wallets, and the identity could be already different from the person using the digital wallet.
No, it would not happen like that. No. I would say because, first of all, to issue the digital identity, your physical identity should be verified. Okay,
right.
So that means most probably what we see from the policy and from the legislative acts, from the eIDAS. So to roll up with your PID, with your personal identity, you know, you need to be identified physically. So that means we will escape of these things. And it's about the security of yours, so how it could be your digital identity to be issued sending a picture of, you don't know, of someone. I would really say that this kind of things would not be happening because the government is responsible for the proof of your digital identity and the control of it on the breach system and how it would be handled.
All right. So going into digital identification, that would be the step where this fraudulent person would be catched.
To be double checked at that point.
Double checked. Yes. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, here's the microphone, please. There we go.
Hi. I'm so sorry to ask this very basic question, but at the end of this conversation, I'm left wondering, and maybe you already covered this, but what's the difference between an EID and a digital wallet?
Well, an EID, it's an electronic identity card. For example, in Belgium, we have an electronic identity card. It's in the form of a smart card with a puce. I don't know. I forgot the name.
The chip?
A chip, yes. And on the chip, with the chip, you can authenticate online, but that's all. So it's a physical document, I would say, still. And the wallet.
So it's EID just because there's a chip.
Yes, this is electronic identity card because there is a chip.
Yeah, in this case, that will be like somewhere in the cloud.
But then there's additional things that identity is like provides your approval of your identity, like you're showing your passport and you know that you're that. But it doesn't provide opportunity to share additional attributes of you. How old are you? Whether you have a driving license? Whether you have like a graduated university? So, and this will be as an add-on part for a digital wallet that you can share additional attributes with your identity.
Mm-hmm. All right, because none of the businesses are ready to share their databases. That's why we have like 25 different cards. So finally, we would be able maybe to put something all together in one wallet and have it for using in different services, right?
Yeah, for trusted, from trusted source. For example, when you want to go and hire like a car, you need to show like a driving license. In the digital identity wallet, you won't need this like a paper or plastic card. You show just your like identity wallet, and you have this attribute that you have a driving license. So, these kind of things, you just digitize those documents, and you are able to share with them in a secure way under your control.
So, when it has to be done for everyone in Europe? When?
26 currently it's for 26. Government institutions to implement this.
All right, yes. Eva, for you to finish.
I think I already said that we are ready and we are waiting for some nice decisions.
And do practical things in parallel.
Yeah, and practical things to
develop
in parallel.
And a round of applause to our moderator and the panelists. Eva Treje, thank you very much.